Portfolio investment, like directly investment. That's very easy to understand. You come here, come to China to establish a factory, a company, that's direct investment. If you come to invest in the Chinese stock market, you buy and sell shares, and or buy bonds here, that's securities investment. That's also a capital account acting as loans, right? You, a Chinese company borrow money from Citibank in New York. That is also capital account movement. Why these are called capital account? Why these are capital account items? Well, because it must be capital. And what is capital? What is capital? What is capital? Well, this is that's two bottles of water, right? One could be capital, the other maybe just for consumption purpose.
Capital can make profit.
Yeah. Capital can, so the purpose of the money is to make profit, right? Is to make a profit. If the purpose of the money is for kind of enjoyment or with the direct purpose, immediate purpose, right? It's not for making money, it's not for productive purpose, then it's not capital. Now we can understand why profit from investment is current account. And investment itself is capital account, because investment, you invest with the purpose of making a profit. Right, expecting profit, but the money, the income you received from investment, we do not yet know. You may use it for capital purpose. Then we call it capital. But before you do that, that's current account. So it will become capital, and it will become capital when you decided to use the money for investment purpose. So that's the this is the basic theme. This is the economic reason for doing this, but actually the categorization here, classification here, is quite arbitrary. 其实也是很随意的，那么随意的就是它的法律层面，法律可以随意的规定。当然它有一点经济学的原因，但法律也有点法律上随意规定的那个原因，所以这是一个mix， 它是一个 mix of legal and economic elements here。But you must understand the distinction here, because it is very, very important. One example is the Article 8. Article 8 of the IMF, Articles of Agreement, which requires that countries must avoid to impose restrictions on capital account, on current account. So this is a law. This is a law. This is an international treaty. And China is a member, and China has accepted this obligation, so China cannot impose restrictions on current account transactions, and which further means that today, that after China actually accepted this obligation in when? 2040, that's too late. 1996. 1996，中国1996年才开始正式接受这项义务啊。也就是说，1996年之后呢，中国不能在对外贸易的资金运用上有任何限制。也就是说，我如果说我需要出口用汇的话，政府一定要保证供应的，明白吧？我只要是出口的目的，我就是我的那个进口用汇，对吧？我只要是合法的进口，我要比如说我要从欧洲买一个什么东西，从日本买一个机床，我需要用钱。我们中国是国汇，是外汇管制的，并不是说任何时候你不能买到外汇，对吧？留个学现在可以买到50000，在我那个时候只能买到2000块钱，只能从银行买2000块钱美元，现在可以买50000，超出50000的话还要控制。那你进口的话，过去是控制的，是一个单项批准。但是今天在接受了这项义务之后呢，你只要能够证明这是一个正常，这是一个经常项目的交易，而且是一个合法的进口，政府就必须供给你足够的汇用外汇去买它，啊，所以这是一个法律义务，是一个非常严格的一个法律义务在这里边啊。但是这就是法律的一部分在这里边了。就是但是呢，你在如果你不了解什么是经常账户和资本账户的区别的话，你也无法了解这个法律义务本身的它的意义所在啊。资本账户是不开放的 ，IMF 对资本账户不做任何规定， 不遵守这种规定，也就是说，政府可以，也就是政府可以禁止外资进入，对吧？也可以禁止外资进入，但是呢，政府能不能禁止那个外资的那个外资的那个所得汇出，对吧？你也不能，因为它属于 current account，对吧？人家投资的收益、投资的所有、投资的那个收入，你是不能禁止的。外资是可以禁止的，但是人家的收益你是不能禁止的啊。所以这就是法律规定的细微之处就在这里面了，对吧？你如果你在就是这个法律它的本身的，你分析这个法条它本身的意义就在这个地方，它就在这个地方了啊。你在这里面，在这里面就可以实现这条，就可以实现国际经济法律和国际经济的完美的交汇。所以你可以用这一条去体验这一点。We will get to this article later。 我们这条我们还要仔细分析的，以后还要仔细分析的。那么在当然从一个经济学的原理呢，在理想状态下，资本账户和那个在国际收支表上，资本账户和经常项目的那个相加必须为零，这是为什么？这个你们学经济比我们要懂多了，你讲一讲。
借方和贷方必须是平衡的。
嗯，为什么必须是平衡？你没有讲一些最根本的经济原因，也就是我们必须平衡，会计准则要求平衡，为什么它要求平衡？为什么一定是平衡的？我们这里实际上讲的是经常账户和资本账户，就是在一个比较正常的体制之下，就是一个比较健康的 healthy economy， you should have the total amount of capital account and items and current account items must be zero for healthy economy。
必须解释每一笔钱
和 healthy economy，
嗯，收的钱花在什么地方，两个收支平衡才能解释每一分钱就能通过一账会清楚的反映出来。
嗯，
就是我觉得经济学是这样，会计学
就是必须解释每一笔钱
对账对里面你用的钱、收的钱用在支出用在哪，花的和收入的平衡，
对，
就说明你这个钱解释清楚了，
解释清楚了就平衡了，是吧？对，平衡了就比较健康啊。那 if we use this to measure the Chinese economy and the American economy，They are both unhealthy. If you examine Chinese, we have a surplus in capital in current account. We also have a surplus in capital account， 对吧？中国实际上是在经常项目和资本项目呢，都是那个都是有大量的那个就我们叫什么一个 surplus， 有盈余，剩余，对，有剩余的，嗯，有 surplus， 有剩余的，这是不是一个健康的经济，应该不是一个就是高效的经济，一个 efficient economy 应该有的。美国其实也一样，美国的两个账户都有那个赤字的，它是个 twin deficit， 它都有赤字的，它的经济也不健康。那么中国和美国实际上构成了全球经济不健康的根源，就是、global economic imbalance 的根源。你看，是根源，中国和美国就是两个病灶，病灶所在，但很难解决，非常难解决，因为这两个经济体太大了。所以，那如果再不解决的话，那下一步就是2012了。这个是开玩笑，就是在会有一个慢慢的调整的过程。所以呢，很多的美国经济学家说，解决美国经济的关键不在于。解决美国经济的关键并根本就不在于中国人民币的汇率，而在于美国人增加储蓄。在美国人增加储蓄，就是在资本账户建立平衡，资本账户建立平衡，然后你减少两个账户的赤字。如果中国人要减少消费，因为你要增加储蓄的话，就会减少消费，对吧？中国呢是要减少消费，要多花钱，这样的话，你的经常项目赤字就会，经常项目的 surplus 就会少一点啊。所以，这是一个当然是国际经济学的一个原理了 ，the principle of international finance。Okay， this we and there's a related issue， the trade balance issue。The trade balance issue is very much a matter of attitude。In the eyes of international trade and international trade law scholars, it's not a big issue. Not a big issue if you. But if we leave the market to the mercantilism, 重商主义 that's a very old tradition. has persisted into the national policy today. Even today, countries encourage exports and discourage imports. But economically speaking, that's nonsense. Doesn't make much sense. The being a trade deficit country, let's have a look at this question. In particular, does trade deficit mean that a country, the country is, if a country has a huge trade deficit, does that mean that the country is in a weaker position in international trade? First, go back to the principle, right? If you have, assuming you have a trade deficit in, trade deficit means you have a deficit in current account. Right? Mm-hmm. If you have a surplus in capital account, then that's not a problem. It's not a problem, right? Because if the total amount is zero or close to zero, it still means you're a healthy economy. You're a healthy economy. Right? But what about other perspective? The U.S. is a trade deficit country. Does that mean the U.S. is a weak country? If someday China becomes a country with a huge amount of trade deficit, will that be a problem? Why that is a problem?
The industry's structure is different.
Mm.
American industry is mainly the high technique or service.
Mm.
But Chinese industry, economic structure is mainly the manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
If the Chinese have a trade deficit, that means the things the manufacturer can't sell out.
Mm.
But they must receive many things from the foreign country. So that's a very benefit for China's manufacturing enterprise.
Is it possible that someday China will be like the U.S., right? So we sell high-tech stuff to other countries, right? And we buy consumer goods from other countries?
Except we have more
service,
more high service, or lower price.
Right.
I think in recent future decades,
mm-hmm.
it's
very difficult. Right. Very difficult because it's a matter of theory. That's possible. You can, China could sell high tech stuff, could sell weapons to other countries, and for example, the U.S. virtually has almost no textile industry. And the U.S. has no furniture industry. It imports all this from other countries. And the U.S. How does the U.S. finance this? U.S. finance this part of it was financed by the sales of U.S. high tech and the services, including financial services. And part of it was financed by what? Do you know? By printing money. Printing money. Just printing money. 这就是事实，这就是作为一个上游国家的事实，一个掠夺者的事实啊。美国的国家收入是绝对不足以支撑它的消费的，不足以支撑它的消费的。但是呢，美国呢，当然它也有高科技可以卖给别人了，可以有收入了。但是呢，这只是一部分，另外一部分就是印钱，而且它印的钱有人要，相当大的部分就通过印钱，而且美元的价值是通过美国强大的军事力量来维持的。你敢不要美元试试，对吧？你敢，哪个国家敢说他完全放弃美元，对吧？你如果说，比如说日本说放弃美元，那么美国就说我撤去对你的保护，或者韩国我撤去对你的保护，对吧？如果说现在比如说亚洲国家、欧洲国家基本上都是依靠美国的军事保护的，而且美国不仅仅是在。它不仅仅是在那个通过这种军事压力、潜在的压力，甚至是每一次在这个国际金融谈判中，它是公开要求的，你必须帮助我维持美元的地位， 就是欧洲国家和日本都，甚至连中国也被要求维持美元的地位，维持美元的地位，要不然的话，他马上就破产了。当然那是说过稍微过得穷一点的也不至于破产，但是美国是没法过得穷的，没法，美国的一切都是很大，你如果在美国生活过的话，一切都是很大啊，那个圣诞节的火鸡有这么大，然后那个街卖的面包有这么长，大，一切都很大，大汽车，大房子。美国的房子要比中国便宜的多，多得多，便宜的多得多。在美国郊区买一个房子，买一个大 house， 然后有一个大片的草地可以养牛的，$20,000首付，$20,000首付。剩下的你可以用那个，剩下的你可以用那个每个月就几百美元来支付，他的生活成本是极低极低的。极低极低，而且现在美国的物价指数已经就消费品而言已经比中国低了，没有中国低了。这些东西都是靠那个，一部分是靠美国的强大的经济实力，它实力也很强大，这是毫无疑问。但另外一部分就是印钱就可以了。就是你只要成为一个这样一个国家的话，你就可以，这就是所谓的铸币税，就是一个铸币税，你就可以通过印钱来维持你的生活啊。所以在这里，这就是另一个例证，你们在国际经济和国际法律。绝对不是不能单独、不能独立的去看待，他们都是纠葛在一起的，经济、法律、政治都是纠葛在一起。如果没有美国强大的军事实力的话，美元就没有价值。因为美国的经济本身处在破产的位置的，它破产的就是收不抵支嘛，收不抵支的嘛。啊，它你想想，一个国家在资本账户和经常账户双赤字的情况下，怎么可能不是抵支的，对不对？你又那个又你的东西又卖不出去，又欠人家钱。你还不破产，那不可能的事情，对吧？那肯定是破产的嘛。你用一个家庭去模拟一下嘛，那肯定是破产的嘛，对吧？但是一个家庭个儿大，兄弟多，你对吧？你都得借个钱让他生活，啊，然后他也维持村子里的秩序。其他国家都借给美国钱，啊，都借。其中三个最大的傻帽就是中国、日本和英国，就中国、日本和英国。但这就是国际经济，这是现在的国际经济秩序。不公正的一个地方，很难改，就是为什么说这个国际经济秩序不公正呢？就在于这里啊，这是一个，所以对这个问题，对这个大背景也要有一个了解，也有一个了解，对吧？了解那个，我们再谈一点点小东西就可以做。Before we go, I want you to understand certain terms concerning foreign exchange rate. Which I'm eager to leave. What is foreign exchange rate? What does it mean? This is a 本科生上课就开始敲饭盆了，是吧？ What is foreign exchange rate? What is foreign exchange rate? What does it mean?Foreign exchange, the price of money. 嗯，就是货币的价格，对吧 ？It's a price of money, worth money. That's it's nothing too mysterious. It's just the price of money, and the price of money is determined in theory by the foreign exchange market. Foreign exchange market is the market where currencies are traded. So currency, not money, currencies are traded.You have to understand the difference between money and currency. Currency represents money. So where currencies are treated, but it's very, very important to understand this vocabulary, these terms, depreciation, appreciation, devaluation, and revaluation. What does depreciation mean?Then what is devaluation?Read it carefully. 好好读一下，一定要了解这个区别。
就是实际购入的那个官方价值，
嗯，
就是
Depreciation and appreciation are determined by the market, but the devaluation and the revaluation are determined very much by the government.The fall in the price, in the market is called depreciation. a rise in the market is called appreciation. But if the government takes certain measures to reduce the value of the money, that's devaluation. And if the government takes measures to raise the price of the money, that's revaluation. That's revaluation. And the Chinese government is now asked by the US to do what? To revaluate the RMB, to take measures to raise the price of RMB to others. Right? So very important to understand this. When you read the newspapers, Financial Times, Wall Street Journal, you can see these different terminologies. They mean different things. So appreciation, depreciation does not always mean devaluation. You can't ask the government to appreciate its currency. Only market can do it. Right. So you must understand this. 但我们中文怎么翻译这个事情？
走软走强。
这个也可以这么说，是不是经济学上的正式词汇，或者说是那个？
价格。
对，就是它那个价格，就是相对来说，欧美元和欧元来说，美元价格再低的话是市场操作。走软走强，还是叫啥？对，大概就这么个意思。
我也不知道，去查一下啊。因为我们当然知道贬值和升值了，但是贬值和升值代表的是这个呢，还是这个呢？
上面。
贬值升值是底下哪个？
贬值和
上面那是走软走强。
走软和走强 ，appreciate 和 depreciate， 走软 ，depreciate， 走软 ，appreciate， 走强。我昨天晚上跟几个人吃饭，他们说你是学法律的，中国的法律就像那个红薯，是吧？见熟人就软，见生人就硬。那走软走强还差不多是同一个意思。好吧，我们今天就这么多了，我看你们也。